Kool-Aid drinkers. Big Z here. Can you tell how excited I am? That's right. The Detroit Lions with a big victory. And of course, this is our 100th episode of Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. A lot of podcasts don't make it this far, to be quite honest with you. So it's been great having our community come together. And we'll talk about this at the end of the podcast, too, as well, just how much appreciative we are, the listeners, and giving us the ability to keep making this podcast week after week. I want to give a big shout-out as well to Justin Zacconi. His last name, S-Z-Y-K-O-W-N-Y. Look him up, selfie-made man on Instagram as well, but also you can look him up on LinkedIn and stuff. He edits a podcast for us. He does a really good job, and just major appreciation to him for helping out with this nice little local podcast. But he does a couple others as well, and he does an excellent job. So big shout-out to him. But mostly, thank you to our listeners. On the 100th episode, we get to talk about the Detroit Lions, possibly the best game in the Matt Patricia era, a 34-16 win over the Jaguars. At the end of the podcast as well, we'll have a bunch of little voice memos that we asked for on social media from people. They sent them in. I don't know if we can get them all in there, but we definitely will throw as many as we can. And just thinking, this is a big love fest, a lot of Kool-Aid. So sit back, get your best glass of Kool-Aid you've had in 100 episodes, and enjoy the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast hosted by lifelong Lions fans. UJ.
It seems apparent to me that the most intellectual football fans tend to be Lions fans.
Bob.
Stafford is the best quarterback in football. Remember what you saw here. Tell your grandkids. Don't forget.
Red Dog.
I believe we're on the precipice of a new era of Detroit Lions football dominance.
Connor.
Patricia looks like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka out there. An absolute blueberry on the sideline.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. The Detroit Lions 2021 Super Bowl champs. We can't wait for this upcoming season. Relax, it's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on October 20th. 2020. Remember that day, folks. This is the 100th episode of Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast.
Woo!
And I'm Big Z, your host, and let's go around to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew who has been here for over 100 episodes and hopefully 100 episodes more. So we got Bob.
Hello there.
Red Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hey, everyone.
And Connor.
What's up?
And gentlemen, what a perfect way to celebrate our 100th episode. After a big 34-16 victory over the Jaguars on the road, the Lions moved to 2-3 on the year, 2-1 on the road, actually, 0-2 at home this year. But what a great – this is arguably the best – one of the best games of the Matt Patricia era so far. And he picked a good time to do it as our 100th episode approached here. So he knew it. He knew it.
He knew it.
It was a stay of execution game.
And he helped the Kool-Aid is going to be flowing at least for another week here. But man, just a lot of good things to go over in this game. And I would say Matt Stafford didn't even play nearly, close to what he's capable of. And the Lions still won this game with relative ease. And I think that's an encouraging sign at least.
Yeah.
I mean, what you guys would agree, right? Matt Stafford didn't play a top notch game.
I think he played better, but I'd not like typical Stafford still.
Yeah. No, he's still missing, strangely missing certain passes for some reason that he would never miss before. He is having some problem with his receivers dropping balls though. So, yeah. True. Some credit goes there to the receivers, but no, Stafford's not his great self right now, but I think he's trending that way though.
Stafford threw the game, that sidearm where the guy's jumping over.
That was classic Stafford there with the sidearm. And even the touchdown pass to Hockenson was sidearm too. So
Yeah. So, I like the Galladay
I thought Stafford
throw.
Did fine. They didn't rely on him too much to do everything. So I think that worked out well. I think he did a good job.
So let's focus on what did work. And let's stay on the offensive side of the ball for now. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 114 yards or 116 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah. Welcome to the
it's
NFL,
our fourth 100-yard rusher since 2013, right?
Yeah, and the last one since Kerryon Johnson did it against Kansas City last year.
I think there was a conversation in the coach room. Hey, didn't we draft a running back in like in the second round? Oh, let's try that guy.
Yeah.
And it, oh, voila. It worked.
Yeah.
Amazing when you use the talent that you've acquired.
Exactly. And they did it with using all eight offensive linemen in this game. One of the more bizarre things you'll see in terms of all eight offensive linemen playing in one game. Yeah,
that was strange.
Two coming out for dehydration, which is kind of concerning, no?
Yeah, TJ Lamb.
Well, the right side of the line doesn't get as much water as the left side of the line. I think that's what it is.
TJ Lamb ripped him pretty good for that. He's like, that's like the one thing you can control is your hydration level. So,
yeah, but they did a good job.
That's not acceptable.
With their big rotation, because their run blocking was excellent.
Yeah, quite good. I believe number one in the league, if I'm not mistaken, Z. You can probably correct me on that. But, yeah, they were rated very high this week.
Yeah, who sent that? Connor, you sent that to us before, right? The article from...
Yeah, number one according to PFF in the league.
Yeah, so that's an encouraging sign. That's what the Lions, Bob Quinn, have been working for the last 3 years, is a top running game like that. And if they can continue this going forward, watch out, NFL. But man, the rotation it's been interesting. I think the Lions like Tyrell Crosby so much at right tackle, they're going to stick with Big V at right guard.
I think you're right. There was a video clip of him just trucking this defensive end.
Yeah.
It was absolutely classic.
And I just don't know.
Like 10 yards down the field, just truck this guy. It was just, it made me, a tear come out of my eye. I saw it happen.
I don't know, though. I think it's going to partly depend on when we get Jonah Jackson and Dahl back, both healthy at the same time, fully, everyone's good to go. That could create a situation where they move Big V back out to tackle.
I see Jonah Jackson moving to left guard, Big V at right guard, and Tyrell Crosby
so
at right
Dahl,
tackle.
So Dahl the odd man out.
Yes.
I can see that too.
Yeah, I can see
but you still have that. But you still have good depth there.
Oh yeah,
and obviously depth comes into play in a game like this.
And I'd rather have Dahl coming in than Ibushi or Wiggins. So,
and staying on the offensive side of the ball, and with Stafford in this game, that touchdown pass to Hockenson made him. He has now thrown a touchdown pass against every team in the NFL except for the Detroit Lions. So
I know
he did
that
too.
I was on a Facebook group and we were talking about that, and they said. You should count the Lions too, because he threw that pick six against the Bears. That was a touchdown against the Lions that he threw.
But, he's probably had more than one of those, I feel like, in his career.
Probably.
Yeah, good point.
Oh man, but and I think Matt Stafford is asked about. It. He's like, oh cool. They can put that on my gravestone, I guess, or something. So he didn't care for that stat too much. But Stafford also moves to 6-0 in the state of Florida. For whatever that's worth.
Can we move the Lions to Florida?
And he's throwing a touchdown against every team besides the Detroit Lions.
That's what we were just saying.
Yeah.
Deja vu.
You're drinking too much Kool-Aid over there, Connor.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. I was reading an article.
I like
get your head in the game,
Sean.
Get your head in the game.
Oh man, but in this game again, I just love with Kenny Galladay brings to the offense. Four catches over 100 yards. On his Instagram account, he said this shit's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Meaning extend him and pay him as a top five wide receiver.
I like three or four players responded too, like backing him up. So.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I forgot which ones.
Players always back each other up when it comes to the money.
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they get, they always
I think Daron Harmon might have been one of them. I don't remember.
In regards to that, man, if the Lions haven't extended him now.
Pay that man.
He realizes he can be franchised next year. I think that's where the Lions are going to go, franchising him.
Yeah, I think they should.
I don't
just
like that.
Down.
I want them to. Want them to extend him.
Yeah,
personally.
I hope they get a contract.
Is there like a corresponding player they're saving the, like cap space for or something for that? I don't understand. Like who else is more important to re-sign at this point?
I don't know. In the Bob Quinn era, they just seem to like the spot where they're at, like $25 million in cap space. They've like stayed pretty consistent there. I don't know if maybe they're like waiting for like. They know it's the right situation and go all in like with a trade and take on a bigger contract during the season. I know they like that flexibility.
Yeah. I like resigning
but I don't know
him.
What their plan is.
I like trying to resign him long term, but I don't hate it if we get a franchise tag as long as we retain his services. You know, we can always negotiate a long-term contract next year.
Yeah. But a lot of encouraging things from the offense in this game, especially from the run game. Lions had 11 more minutes of time of possession. That's always nice to see. That means no three and outs. Constantly holding the ball. So a lot of encouraging signs from the offensive side.
Absolutely.
And again, we say all this.
Yeah.
And we're playing the Jaguars, who have one of the three bottom defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, we need like an asterisk graphic here. This game has an asterisk next to it. It was the Jaguars.
But they're
you still got to beat those teams, though, man. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Lions did what they were supposed to do in this game. And now let's flip it to the other side of the ball. And that was arguably even more encouraging because of how bad they've been. And yeah. Only giving up 16 points. And, you know, one of those is kind of a, you know, late. What do they call it?
Garbage time.
Garbage time. There you go. Losing my.
And to be fair, the Jacksonville had a pretty good run game coming into this, and we stifled their run.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What, they have like 43 rushing yards or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
44.
It was impressive. 44. You know, in my prediction, I was a little off on my prediction score wise, you know.
55-0?
Yeah. Well, just a little off on that, but I did say we're going to see Patricia's defense come to form, and this is the best look at of what his schemes and the way it can be played have looked like so far to date. I don't think I can think of another game. Maybe the Patriots game that first year, but like we saw aggressive blitzes that were effective and our guys were getting home, and then in return the secondary played a lot better and the run stuff, and I mean it came together really nicely. I mean, regardless of less talent, the scheming just looked so much better.
Yeah, Minshew said he saw some looks out there that confused him. I don't know if it's because he's Minshew or they were really mixing things up.
The Fu Manchu.
But he gave a lot of credit to the scheme that they were using against him. So.
Yeah. And then my big hope is that this isn't like the Giants game last year where it was like late in the game season we blitzed the crap out of them and it was like, oh, yes, we're finally being aggressive, and they never did it again the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I expect to see something similar to what we saw as far as aggressiveness going forward.
Yeah, didn't you guys like just individual players, the way everybody was like hitting hard out there? They seemed fired up.
Yeah. What was that one sandwich play? That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Flowers. Hey, Flowers.
Yeah, Flowers was a menace out there today.
Flowers was amazing.
Or not today, whatever, Sunday.
And now they reduced the role of Jared Davis, but when he's in there, he's really effective now. I mean, he's got, what do you have, like six rush attempts, you know, to get the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he had three hurries in that situation. He forced a fumble out of bounds, you know. He's out there hitting and doing well.
Yeah, he was only out there for 11 plays, but he's their highest graded defender.
I want to keep developing him in that role, man.
Yeah.
Just speaking about hits, I love the swift hit that he put on the linebacker in this game.
That was great.
You want to talk about contact. But going back to Jerod Davis, and Bob, you brought this up earlier today in our text thread, the fact that there's rumors out there about him. If you don't recall, listeners, is that Jerod Davis, the Lions declined his fifth-year option, so he becomes a free agent after this season. And what we've seen under Bob Quinn is that he likes to trade guys, Golden Tate. Well, Quandre Diggs is here early. But these guys that might be out of the way out the door, getting value for him before, you know, they become free agents.
And we didn't pick up his option, so
But the Steelers apparently have some interest, and you can see it now. I think Rud Dog was saying like how it's just like you can see him becoming an all-pro for the Steelers.
The next Kyle Van Noy for the
Oh, God.
Because you can picture him in that defense.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Just harassing quarterbacks.
It's such an aggressive defense, you know, and they can use him in one-dimensional way that serves his talent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do more. Maybe he's one-dimensional. Let's use that one dimension.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd personally keep him the rest of this year. I mean, I don't think you're going to get much for him in a trade.
I think you're going to get fifth-round pick at most.
Fifth or sixth,
You get to, like, a fourth-round range, and I start to get interested, but anything really less, fifth-round's not enough for me. Like, rather see him try to get them what his – because, you know, we all know it. He has the skill set, like, the talent to do something in a defensive backfield. And I just want to see them figure out what that is. And it looks like they're actually doing it, which is very encouraging.
But speaking of low-round talent, actually, there is a guy I wanted to bring up that has now worked his way into the starting role and becoming super effective on early downs. That's John Penasini. Yeah. He was graded as the fifth best interior defensive lineman against the run this week in the NFL.
Yeah.
I see a lot more playing time for him going forward.
Oh, yeah. He was great in the middle with Nick Williams, Danny Shelton on the side and Nick Williams.
Yeah.
I really like what they got going there on the line right now. I hope they keep going with him at nose.
Again, he's not a guy that's going to generate a ton of pass rush for you, but he's going to guy that's going to clog up one or two guys on the line. He's not going to get blown back.
Exactly.
Yards.
And you want him out there because you want a guy with a funny name, you know, like penis.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's critical. That's critical.
And he does. How's that for analysis? He does got lead in his pants, so, you know.
That's why we're here.
Yes. Hey, Zeke, I don't know if you're getting to this next, but we have an emerging star at cornerback who is not Jeff Okuda, who is also an emerging star.
Yes.
Awarie is like ridiculously good.
However you say it. He has to be. What's his grade on PFF? He's got to be doing pretty well.
His grade this week was a 72. But let me—he was targeted 10 times this week. He's thrown at 10 times, only gave up 2 catches for 20 yards.
Oh man!
Okuda was targeted 7 times. He gave up 5 catches for 70 yards, including 135-yard easy reception down the sideline where he just bit hard on a out route.
Is that his best grade of the season, though?
This is Jeff Okuda's best grade.
Stopping two passes is like a big upgrade for him. I think the only time he got burned on his interception.
He got burned early, and then he kind of settled down, I thought, Okuda.
Yeah, that was definitely, a 35-yard reception or something like that? Jeff Okuda graded super high tackling, though, this week. The one thing you can't give him is that he's been a pretty sure tackler.
He's a very willing tackler. I love that about him.
Yeah, and
by the way, few people looking into the future, this bodes well. Warrior and Okuda, and I think Okuda's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a rookie. I know we're giving him shit because, you know, he's having some struggles early, but they all do. But Awarie is turning into legit cornerback. And then with Okuda approving in the next year or two, we're going to have a couple of the best corners in all of football right there.
Good.
Yeah.
A couple of the other defenders that graded extremely high in the 90s were Trey Flowers. Nice strip sack fumble as well in this game.
He played it.
That's what he needs to do. We need to see more of that out of him now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a defensive co-captain. You would hope, you know.
Not to mention the count.
Daron Harmon?
Daron Harmon and Jamie Collins as well, both grading about 90.
I thought our safeties did really well on Sunday.
Will Smith's best game.
Some good picks
Will
and
Harris.
Good drops. Yeah, Will Smith.
His one play.
Where's DJ Jazzy Jeff? Was he out there?
I think Will Harris is about as good as Will Smith would be if we just threw him out there to play safety right now.
And if you didn't catch that on all the kerfuffle, Will Harris only one snap in this game. So he goes from starter to barely getting on the field.
I want to know more about that. We got to get Patricia on the pod. And ask
Him. Right.
Yeah. Can you get him on the line there? Z?
No, we've cut off communication.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was Big Z got offended when he told him to stand up straight last time we were talking to him.
Reggie Ragland's been getting a lot more work at linebacker as well. I think he's taking more of the Jerod Davis snaps at least. Him and Tavai kind of have been splitting those up. But like you said, Davis, hopefully they find a role for him.
How did Jones grade out? Because he had one pass deflection.
He graded out at 83. He was in there for 22 snaps. So definitely one of the lowest. I think it's his lowest appearance of the season in terms of snaps on the field.
We still got a pass defense, so that's something.
I mean, he was most effective in the run in this game, not really effective in the pass.
I think Ragland might be a sneaky good acquisition because he's not flashy, but he's solid, you know. Gets the job done.
And he graded really high in coverage in this game.
Nice.
To make the linebackers can cover somebody.
Right?
It's amazing.
It's like we got the two top linebackers we had a chance to take at that draft because we took Jerod Davis and then Ragland went the next round and everyone's like, why didn't we take Ragland? Well, now we got him. We can buy him to make one super player and now we're getting results.
Yeah.
One player who dipped a little bit to me was Jack Fox. Both of his punts were in the end zone this week.
Yeah.
You let us down, Jack.
No, he's 45-yard and 25-yard net. So.
Yeah, his punts were short, though. He didn't even have to punt us deep out of trouble, you know?
Yeah,
which is new.
Like it's not line. A knock. I just feel like we've been so positive. You know, we just got to get one little criticism.
Right. He was probably confused.
Sorry, Jack, we had to hammer you there, buddy.
We still love you. He still leads the league in net punt average, I think.
He was probably confused. He's like, why am I punting with, like, when I don't have to, like, flip the field? Like, this doesn't make sense. I've never done this before.
Yeah, I mean... The Lions only allowed 243 pass yards in total, 43 on the ground. So if we can do that against the Falcons this upcoming week.
Super Bowl, here we come.
It'd be a tough test against Falcons.
Yeah, this is a big test.
Yeah, and we'll be previewing that later this week. But definitely a big difference from this Jaguars offense moving to the Falcons offense for sure. Especially if Julio Jones is healthy, which all by all accounts he will be.
Matt Ryan's a good quarterback.
Yeah, so I mean, who would you guys say is the player of this game? I'm gonna go with DeAndre Swift. I think this is his breakout game, and that's what I'll remember it for.
I agree.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I go Swift, and if we get a defensive guy, I'd go Trey Flowers on that. But
I was gonna say Trey Flowers. I mean,
I think we're all on the same page there.
With how well the defense did, I'd have to say Trey Flowers was the player of the game. But I'm really excited for Swift. I have to think he's, you know, RB1. At this point,
yeah, I mean,
and Adrian Peterson might get like 30%. I don't know. And I don't know where that leaves Kerryon.
So Peterson had 15 carries. Swift had 14 in this game. Do we expect that 50-50 split, or it's going to keep trending towards Swift getting maybe like 20 and Peterson gets 10 by the end of the season?
I would personally like to see a trend more to Swift. Yeah. I don't want to take Peterson out of the game. I think he's been very valuable to us, and I think he's a tough runner. He gets some tough yards. But I think he had 14 carries this game. I think Swift needs to get upwards toward closer to 20, like 18 to 20. His values is, it's like Barry Sanders. People forget Barry Sanders he'd lose yardage on three consecutive plays. He'd be like three rushes for minus 8 yards. And then the fourth play, he'd break an 80 yarder or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, Swift gives us that potential to break big plays, and that's what we need.
Yeah, if he doesn't slow
down. You got to keep handing him the ball. You have to.
Yeah, I kind of think keep him in that 15 to 20 range. While we have AP, you know, let him use his legs out there. Let's keep Swift fresh. Mm-hmm. And then when AP breaks down, we'll get Bo Scarborough back on the roster.
Where is this leave Kerryon? I feel like we've totally forgotten about Kerryon.
Well, Kerryon does his thing, but he's kind of a niche back right now.
I personally think Kerryon will come on. I expect him to get a few carries here and there. I think he's going to have one of those games here. He's got too much talent to not show up one of these games.
Yeah, but he's coming off two major knee injuries is the problem.
True.
So that's where the issue more lies. He's their best pass blocker in the backfield. That's why you see him out there a lot.
We need that. And that's where Swift is probably not quite ready yet to really step into a full role because he's not, you know, he's still got to learn that at the pro level.
Exactly, and I think that's why we weren't seeing him out there as much early in the season.
Which I'm fine with. He's the kind of player you don't need to feed him the rock every play. He's an explosive player.
So let me put it this way to listeners here and Lions fans. Just, you know, no preseason this year, right? So the first four games of this season were just like the preseason games, and now the real season starts, and the Lions are 1-0, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patricia was just thrown off because his clock is set around the phases, right?
So the Lions are 1-0, the Bears are 1-0, the Packers are 0-1, and the Vikings are 0-1.
Hey, Z,
the season.
If you think the Lions are 1-0, what kind of Kool-Aid are you drinking, man? Because I've got the Dauntless Oktoberfest beer here, which is delicious.
Oh, that's good.
But I'm not having delusions. What are you drinking there?
Just some Gatorade.
By the way, I'm drinking Glenfiddich 12-year-old scotch with some cheese from the cheese store in Franken.
Wow.
Ooh, nice.
Wow. Okay. I'm
cheddar garlic.
Going all out for the 100th.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I went top shelf beer. I'm drinking a Labatt Blue.
All right.
From the great Canadian on this.
Yeah, season. I can't find these in Chicago, so I picked some up in Michigan.
Here in Detroit, it's a staple. So
yeah.
I went high end. I have Jewel vodka mixed with cherry diet 7-Up.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Oh, boy.
Boy.
It's impressive. Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to brag. Sorry, guys.
Well, I could see him with a 2-liter. You know, he pours some out and pours vodka in.
Yeah. Where's the yellowtail?
That's a
Where's
good
your
idea,
yellowtail?
Bob?
Oh, man. Actually, guys, since this is the 100th episode, we had a question of from James from Troy, one of our listeners, asking about Matt Patricia. Here it is.
What up, Blue Kool-Aid fam? Congrats on 100 episodes. I just want to know, what are your thoughts on Matt Patricia staying until at least week 14? If we don't win at least a couple of these games coming up that are real winnable games, do you guys think he's probably going to get the boot if he takes maybe 2 losses out of the next 4 games? But where, and another thing, the defense that we had on Sunday, where was that 2 years ago? Did he just have an old playbook on a post-it note in his back pocket he found in the washer after 2 years? Where was this all along? I want to know. For a defensive coach to just out of nowhere bring the house on Gardner Minshew, we need more of that. Come on. But what are your thoughts?
Does this game at all help with Matt Patricia's cause, or are we going to need to see like 3 more wins in a row to change?
You're gonna
the narrative?
Need to see more. One win after his record doesn't do much for me.
No,
yeah.
I said this earlier. This
but he's in the double digits. He's at 10 wins.
I said this earlier. This is a stay of execution 11, right? game. This is a stay of execution. He still, if he loses this next one, he could just as easily be gone because this is another team that's not doing great. And if he has any hopes of making a playoff push, you got to beat a team like the Falcons that's down on, you know, even if they're a threat, you got to win. You got to come with that W.
You're right, Connor. Sorry.
It's amazing how if Swift had just caught that pass in week one, like our whole tone would be different. Like we'd be 3-2.
Oh, I know, right?
Like,
good point.
I guess my concern is we're still getting beat up by like better teams like Saints and the Packers.
It still hasn't changed the fact that our defense up until this game was putrid.
Yes.
I mean, blowing huge leads. And granted, some of that's coaching philosophy that gets conservative at the wrong times. Mm-hmm.
They're not rushing three as much anymore, so we might be seeing a change in defensive philosophy.
I'm glad you bring that up, Connor, because this game against the Jaguars was the lowest amount of man-to-man defense that the Lions played in the Patricia era. They only played man 33% of the time in this
33?
Game. Yeah.
Wow. Wasn't that like 80% week
according
one
to ESPN
or something?
Stats.
And they had 4 down linemen a lot more. I don't have the stats what it was, but they were talking about that, and it gave their edge rushers a shot, you know, Aquara and Trey Flowers.
Yeah.
Minshew was getting beat up there a lot this week.
He was.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Unfortunately, Julian Aquara got hurt in this game, so his short. Yeah. I don't know when he's coming back.
Julian!
He only played 5 snaps in this game before getting hurt. So I don't know when he's going to come back.
We're going to lose all his production.
Yeah.
It's actually too bad. The guy's really athletic, and they didn't give him a shot right away. And I was kind of hoping to see more of him because he's kind of an exciting player. Yeah. But
I think we all were when you drafted him in the 3rd round.
Though their other Aquara is promising this season, though. He's playing pretty good football. So at least we got that going.
Hey,
but yeah, I agree. Definitely. Like I'm disappointed so far, but I still have high hopes for him.
I just want to say what you guys are saying, does this get Patricia off the hook or whatever, what this game means? I think this game does mean a lot to the Lions. I don't think Patricia or the players are thinking about Patricia getting fired. I think they're just concentrating on winning. And I think they've been trying to build this thing. I think the team's really tight. Like they love each other. They believe in the coach, and it hasn't been working. But I think it's starting. They can start seeing it. You get these weaker teams, get a couple wins together, and I think it's just going to grow from there. Their confidence. Yeah.
I agree.
Definitely.
And you know, to take that further, as far as Patricia, though, he took this bye week and really – I think he did some real self-reflection. And he looked at his defense. He looked at his team. And we saw some really – like you said, 33% man and stuff. He went – I think he humbled himself a little bit and – I think that's just the team just fed on that, like you said. Like they came together even more. Like they're fighting as a team now. Finally, that was the first real team effort we've seen all year.
So just where the Lions stand in the standings currently, they are 11th place in the NFC. They are one game out or one and a half games out of the seventh spot. Remember, the seventh spot gets in the playoffs now, not the sixth. So yeah. The Cardinals and Rams are both 4-2. Then the Lions trail the Saints, Panthers, 49ers, who are sitting at 3-3, except for the Saints 3-2. But look at the Lions. I just love their schedule coming up. It's really favorable.
Yeah. It's a great schedule.
We're at Atlanta, a team that just fired their coach, although they kicked Minnesota's ass, but Minnesota's got their own issues. Then they're home against the Colts, a very winnable game. Phillip Rivers not looking so great this year. Then at the Vikings, then home against the Redskins, then at the Panthers, an okay team. A lot of people didn't think much highly of them. Then the Texans, who also just fired their coach, and then it gets a little harder at the end of the season on the road at Bears and the Packers, Titans, and Buccaneers. But this little stretch right here can really change the narrative in a hurry.
Right. If we can start mowing through some of these worst teams, build up some confidence and momentum, it can help us pushing on to those better teams. So, yeah. I mean, this season's definitely not over yet by any means. So don't lose faith, Lions fans. Come on.
Keep it. No, it's just starting.
Keep drinking that Kool-Aid while you can.
So are we predicting right now, are we still predicting that the Lions make the playoffs this year?
That's a good
one. Oh, yeah.
Their schedule,
I had them in the Super Bowl. That hasn't changed. So
Their schedule is still really favorable. Like, I can't ignore that.
I just want to make sure the Kool-Aid's all still flowing here. It's only five weeks in. Six weeks in.
I like the progression of where this is going, though. Like, we started off with, since the bye week, we started with a really bad team in the Jaguars, and we handled the business, got it done, looked easy. Now we got a high-powered offensive team in the Falcons, and let's see how we handle that. Then we get a high-powered defensive team. You know, before we start, and then we get the Vikings, who are just a hot mess. But like, it builds a nice progression of how they have to continue to build on what they just did this last week. And so, I mean, none of these teams are perfect. So, opportunity galore.
Yes,
definitely. Well, I think that's all I had on my list for this game. But I wanted to wrap up this, this recap episode. It is our 100th episode, so I just wanted to go around a little bit to you guys and just, we're 100 episodes. Let's count down our 100 favorite memories of this episode. Record this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need more Kool-Aid for that, Z.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, I was just hoping we go around to each of us and just say what we've liked about recording this so far and what, we look forward to continue recording this. Yeah. So we'll start with you, Bob.
This is fun, man. We got together to do this because we always like talking Lions, and we just figured doing it on a podcast, which is great for people I think who are out of town and don't get to talk to fans. You know, it's just like talking to your friends. So it's been nice. It's been fun, and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, Rod Dog.
Yeah, like Bob says, just like talking to friends. It's like talking to friends because you're all my enemies. Actually, no, I'm just kidding. No, this has been amazing. I'm just glad have actually put the energy to do this. It's fun. You know, I love that we're the Kool-Aid drinkers. We're not a bunch, we're not out here being all sour and dour like so many Lions, like media is. And, we love the Lions. That's what this is about. And these are my favorite Lions fans on this pod. So this has been great.
UJ.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, I'm the elder statesman here, I guess, I suppose. I've been watching the Lions for the early 60s. And they've never won in my lifetime. But for some strange reason, though, I hold out this great hope and faith that it's going to happen in my lifetime. And when it does, it's going to be amazing. And I never don't enjoy talking about them. But I always talk from the perspective of hopefulness, like, If this happens, if this player does this, if only this happens, we're going to be there, man. I just know it. We're so close. Every year people mock me because I say, this is the year, my friends know that I'm a diehard Lions fan. It's ad nauseum almost, but because every year I'm making these same predictions, but it's going to happen one of these years. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And that's why drinking the Blue Kool-Aid is so important. It's all about faith and, we're being tested, but man, I'm telling you, when it happens, it's going to be joyous and wonderful, and and it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be great. So I'm never going to give it up. I love the Lions. I love this podcast, and I thank you all, your listeners, for being out here and with us and just listening to our rantings and ravings. But we love it. We love the Lions. We love you guys, and I hope this goes on for another 100, maybe 1,000, maybe a million.
Ooh, million.
And what do you mean the Lions haven't won, UJ? They won a playoff game in 1992, 2 months before I
was there.
Born.
Well, I wasn't there, but I remember.
I think I'm the bad luck charm because they literally they won like 2 months before I was born, and then they haven't won since.
Right.
So,
UJ,
I might be the bad luck Lions.
Well, look at it this way. Their last championship was in 1957.
Yes.
Okay. I was born in 58.
Oh,
wow.
Wow. We need to take you guys out, I guess.
Was it Bobby Lane? Was it me? I don't know. But I don't want to claim credit.
UJ, I thought you were going to insert like a Rick roll on us there for a second. Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. That's like we are. We're the Rick roll of the Lions. Never going to give them up.
All right, Connor.
Yeah, well, UJ and Bob are pretty much responsible for the whole family loving the Lions. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
No, every year my friends are like, Connor, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why do you support this team? Like, they've made you miserable. Like, what's the point? I'm like, well, there is a point. Like, we all know the point. Like, that's why we're here. We're on this pod. Like, it's all going to pay off one day. And yes, this pod started at a rough time for the Lions. You know, Patricia hasn't exactly given us a lot of wins to talk about, but it's good. We're going to get there. Like it has been said. And when Joe Buck's interviewing us at halftime of the Super Bowl, when Stafford's up 38-14, we're going to know we have arrived. That's when we're going to get our big network deals. And they're all together.
Yeah.
We'll be, you know, Fox Sports, wow. You know, Big Z is going to be there.
And
UJ is going to be on CBS. It's going to pay off one day. Because they'll see our predictions. They'll see that no one had us going to the Super
That's
Bowl
right.
but us. So respect right. a pod.
Someday we'll That's have to go right. through to all those predictions and see how many wins we picked and how many losses.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
We're at least 11-25-1 in the Patricia era on our predictions.
Uncanny.
It is uncanny how our record reflects theirs.
I mean, this has just been a lot of fun doing this. And like Connor was saying, especially living in Chicago, you just get a ton of shit for being a Lions fan. And I wear with no bigger badge of honor and pride than I do live in here, and but just getting to meet so many people too from Michigan and stuff. It's awesome when you can walk down the street and you see like a Lions fan, just like instantly connect.
Oh yeah,
I love that. There's no better feeling. It's just a great connection, because you know they feel the same way too. It's a good community of people, and there's a lot we've discovered all these blue Kool-Aid drinkers out there as well. You know, you go on the media and stuff and the radio, and it's just like all, you know, negative and usually on them. But they just need some Kool-Aid. They need to bring some Kool-Aid to their studios up there sometimes. But, no, it's been a lot of fun. I also want to give a thank you to all the listeners. You know, when we first started this, we were just posting on Reddit and stuff, and they kind of expanded it out. We've had over 20,000 listens now in our 100 episodes. So that's been something really cool to see. And also a big shout-out to Kid J, my brother, Justin Zaccone, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay.
Selfie Made Man on Instagram, if you want to go follow him. But yeah. He helps edit a lot of these podcasts as well and does a really good job.
He's
and
a real pro.
Yeah. So. He can do your podcast, too, but he charges top dollar. Just warning you.
And it's worth it.
Yes.
Worth every penny.
It is worth it.
But, man, yeah. No, it's been a really fun to host this and you know, come on here every week and talk about the Detroit Lions and kind of create a little community of blue Kool-Aid drinkers. It's been really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I know before we head out on this podcast, we're going to be inserting here into this part of the podcast. We ask people on Instagram and through various forms of media to send in some voicemails. So I don't know if we're going to get everybody's, but we'll try to get them into this part. Just that wanted to be included on this episode. We said you're more than welcome, so we're going to insert that here. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, this is episode 100, number 100. So listen later this week for 101. It'll be even better than the last. And every episode we do after that will be better than the last.
Gets better and better.
Yeah. But Instagram, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please subscribe. Please leave a review of this podcast. We appreciate it, especially in the 100th. Come on, give us a big birthday present. Subscribe and leave a review. Huh?
Yeah.
Do it for the 100, if anything else. but we really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, for the 100th time, as always,
go, go Lions! Lions!
Woo!
It's a tough road being a Lions fan, but it's nice to listen to four guys who really get it. Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid always picks me up when I'm down after a loss and always hypes me up after a big win. I love hearing their predictions for the next week, as they're always so optimistic. Keep up the great work, guys. Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, 100 episodes strong.
Thank you for keeping the Kool-Aid flowing about a Lions Super Bowl. Go Lions!
Hey, Boo Kool-Aid gang, this is Colton. Congrats on the 100th episode. Super proud of you guys.
Happy 100th episode, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. You guys are the best. Thanks for keeping the spirit alive for the Detroit Lions, baby!
Hey, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid crew, congratulations on your 100th episode. Looking forward to many more.
Hello, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. Just wanted to say it's been a hell of a 3 years, and congratulations on 100 episodes. The entire team's combination of charisma, confidence, expertise, and Kool-Aid has just been phenomenal. I actually moved to California in 2018 when you guys first started the pod, and there are not many Lions fans down here, so listening to the pod made it a lot more bearable as a Lions fan. Keep up the great work, and I just wanted to shout out to Rut Dog, whose jokes and puns sometimes go unnoticed. We're noticing them, and they're hilarious. Go Lions!
Hey guys, Steve coming at you from Central Michigan up here by Mount Pleasant. Just wanted to wish you guys a congratulations on 100 episodes. That's awesome. Been a long time listener. Love the upbeat, optimistic atmosphere of everything. Week in, week out, man. May everyone's pitchers be full of that blue Kool-Aid. Keep drinking. Congratulations. Woo!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.